time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Thanks for checking in. Mitch and Paul live in Las Vegas. In 5 minutes, Pat Forty from SI is going to join the program, one of the very best college football reporters in the business. We will have In Pocket, recap what we had on Friday, and tell you who we're betting on today. And Nick Bogdanovich, William Hill Sportsbooks, on the betting handle and the big bets in about 45 minutes. Paulie, I will give you a couple things here before we get to Pat Forty. A couple of tweets from him. Prominent industry source. Quote, I think by the end of the week, the fall sports will be postponed in all conferences. End of quote. Another tweet. Sources, attempts to salvage the fall 2020 college football season are all but over. One person told SI, quote, it's gotten to a critical stage. I think all of us will be meeting with our boards in the coming days. We have work to do that is no fun. End of quote. And from what others are reporting, I guess players today at practice have been told that we're going to take it very easy. And there's this last night, by the way, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'll give you the first couple of paragraphs. The Big Ten Conference has decided to attempt to move the league's 2020 football season to the second semester. Multiple sources told the Journal Sentinel that an announcement is expected early this week. And according to multiple reports, Big Ten presidents and chancellors were scheduled to meet Sunday to discuss the league's plans for shutting down fall sports because of the ongoing pandemic.
Pat goes out. Yep, Pat goes out for a buck ride Saturday. He comes home, all hell breaks loose. You know, the Mac pulls the plug. He'll tell the Northern Illinois story coming up. They think, and then the Big Ten was supposed to be next. It's just, well, you guys couldn't work together at all on this, right? You couldn't get. Finally, now you're getting together and talking about it. The major players in college football. You know, how about all the? And then they're all releasing their conference schedules last week.
I don't get it.
Just come out. They just come out, yeah. And what the Big Ten did in early July. It's like, can you work together and talk to one another about this? But it's, yeah, it's all but over. One Power 5 AD, it doesn't look good. There was an emergency meeting last night with the Big Ten. A group of five athletic directors told ESPN, I don't know why we're trying to push to play in the fall. It made more sense to me to play in the spring. The ACC is going to meet this morning. So, and here's the Pat Forty tweet as well. Attempts to salvage the season are all but over. It's gotten to a critical stage. One person told SI, I think all of us will be meeting with our boards in the coming days. We'll have work to do. This is no fun, and this is going to be the end of this. And now it begs the question, and we'll ask Pat coming up, what happens to the draft? What happens with all these guys who are going to – these top players are going to opt out when you push football to the spring? Well, what a mess. I can't believe I can't believe we're here. And we know why we're here, because we couldn't follow rules and all the other business, but – I just saw there was a big thing on Louisville. A bunch of people, kids went to a big house party. Huge outbreak. 30 people got COVID. It's like, what are you doing? But to think where we were with the shutdown in March, and that when we discussed it with Herb Street's comments, and here we are 5 months later, and we're not going to have college football.
And then what does this mean for the NFL? Will they shift their schedule to play? I mean, why would they not play Saturday, Sunday, Mondays?
Oh, absolutely. Play
Saturday. That makes the most sense.
Yes. They'll do that. Play some Saturday nights, whatever, yes.
All right, welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. And starting off this hour, talking about the latest news in college football. And Pat Forty, the very best in the business with Sports Illustrated, joins the program now. So, Pat, as always, thanks for the time. Take us through your bike ride and what it was like over the weekend when you came back and you're like, holy hell, what just happened?
Yeah, it was stupid. I shouldn't have gone. I did text my colleague, Ross Dellinger. I said, I'm going on a one-hour bike ride, which guarantees that all hell will break loose. And I get back and I look at my phone. I'm like, yep, there we go. I mean, the Mac moved faster than I thought. And then everything spiraled from there. And that's, you know, you want to talk about an example of why college athletics just makes no sense whatsoever. Northern Illinois basically shuts down the college football season. Northern Illinois tells the MAC, we're not playing. Gets everybody on their side. So they all decide, okay, none of us are playing. We'll push to spring. And then the MAC, the ninth or tenth biggest conference in the country, literally, basically pushes the lever. And then everybody else has to say, okay, we're not playing either. And that's where we're going to be, I think, within the next 48 to 72 hours.
Why couldn't they get together, Pat? It goes back to last time we had you on with the Big Ten, with what they were doing in July. And then they're coming out with these schedules last week.
Yeah, no, I mean, but, you know, that's the thing. It's, I mean, yes, lack of communication, lack of coordinated planning. I think an unwillingness to really look at reality for a long time. Because, frankly, and you mentioned the Herb Street thing, this has been coming for a long time. You know, and there was, you know, hope would ebb and flow, and sometimes things would look better. The virus's numbers are going down. Hey, we're going to play. We're going to set things in motion. We're going to bring players back to campus in early June for workouts. Get your tickets now. Mm-hmm. We're going to have fans. And then slowly it just all fell apart, and nobody really wanted to recognize it or admit it until the very end. And now here we are.
Going back to what Paul said last week, all these conferences, hey, look at us. Look at the schedules now and look at what we're doing in the SEC and in the Big Ten. And it's, you know, we're getting kind of close at this point. I know other people were saying, how are we going to pull this off in 29 days? And then I think you summed it up perfectly. Of all things, Northern Illinois is like, okay, now we're not going to do it. And now suddenly the Power Fives are getting together this week and saying, I don't know if we can do this, guys. We might have to pull the plug on the entire thing. It's just, it's utter craziness what's going on.
It is. I mean, it is college sports in a microcosm this weekend. I mean, it starts with Northern Illinois being the lever that flips the switch towards no season. It accelerates from there. And then all of a sudden at the very end of the season, at weekend at midnight, Trevor Lawrence tweets, we want to play. And this whole movement is erupting amongst players, and it's awesome and it's cool to see, but I just don't think it's going to be enough to change where we're going on this. But again, too little, too late. Players say it doesn't really matter. Nobody took the virus seriously when they needed to take the virus seriously. Everybody wanted to play just because A, we love football, and B, we need money in college sports. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we have run up against, we're out of time, and the situation isn't good enough to go forward.
Would anybody go rogue? Would the SEC and Big 12 say we'll still give it a shot?
I don't think so. I would be surprised if that happened. And we discussed that a little bit on our podcast. We did an emergency pod last night, and you know, I don't think the Big 12's in a position to do it. And as far as the SEC, here's the deal: the presidents of the schools in that league and the boards of trustees and everything have been working very hard for years to upgrade the academic profile of the state schools, especially at Florida, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Mississippi, and to make them desirable academic destinations for people, especially from out of state, who want to pay out of state tuition. What's the one thing they don't want to be called? An academic, lightweight place that only cares about football. And so you get the presidents in the room and say, we want you to flout everybody else in the country and play football and tell the players it's safe and tell everybody we're a prestigious academic institution. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. What's this going to look like moving forward now? I mean, what are we going to go spring football and then maybe back into the next season? How's this going to work? What do you think this is going to look? I mean,
that's the thing. Spring was never a very good option.
No.
You know, I mean, and there's a lot of problems to it. Now, you know, there's been some people who have discussed, you know, play 8 games in the spring and play 8 next fall, start in October next year, or maybe try to play 12, but start later to give a little more cushion between seasons. Or you're going to have people say, look, let's just forget trying to force this spring thing and try to have a real normal season next year. So I think those are going to be the two competing interests. And the schools will want two semesters worth of money from games that they think they can get fans in the stands. But can the players do it? Will the players want to do it? I mean, dozens of players will go pro. Dozens will opt out.
Right.
Yep.
You know, there is no good alternative at this point. It's either no football or a very flawed spring football season.
Yeah, which could mean, by the way, if it's very flawed that we get it in the spring, are we going to have that exact system at the same time as college basketball? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I mean, could it be possible where we're going to miss out on 2 consecutive March Madnesses? I mean, that would just, I mean, my God.
I agree. It would be devastating. I don't think at some point the NCAA will step in and save March Madness because that's their cash cow. And, you know, I think obviously the hope all along has been for a virus or vaccine, or some, you know, safer way to safeguard everybody by 2021. And if that's the case, then you can't just tell basketball, okay, get out of the way. We're ready to play this half baked football season, you know? So I think they will do everything they can to save the winter sports in the NCAA for 2021.
For all the money, Paulie Howard, Mitch Moss, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network, the great Pat Forty, our guest from Sports Illustrated. He was all over it this weekend. The best of college football, college basketball. The other part of this story is, and you've had many, you've been all over this as well. We failed miserably as a country here. Now, the other thing is, and I read your comments in your articles and tweets. Joel Klatt, what is your problem? I mean, who are these people coming out saying, oh, yo, you, the headlines and you guys were rooting. You really think Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated was rooting for this? And I mean, how do you address that with some of this garbage on Twitter?
Yeah, you have to try to not address it as much as possible. But, you know, I've known Joel a long time since he was in college. I've liked him. I've had a good relationship with him. I've known Danny Cannell and worked with him when we were both at ESPN. But that's just ignorant. It's stupid. You know, I'm sorry that there is, that is not true. Okay. We are not peddling fear. We are not wishing for the season to not be played. My livelihood depends on college sports being played. You think that's what I want to see? You really think, oh gosh, let's not have a season because I think we need a different president. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I would love for there to be football because A, I love football. B, it keeps the lights on in my house. C, I am a bit of a fan of college sports because all three of my kids are college athletes, and I know how bad it is for them when they get their seasons canceled because it happened to two of them last March. They were winter sports athletes. I want there to be sports, you know? So does everybody else that covers college sports. And to say otherwise is absolutely ignorant and stupid and insulting.
Well said. Yep. It's one of the silliest, if not the silliest, narratives I've ever heard in my entire life. I can't believe that people are still actually suggesting that this is a possibility. Pat, you've been to a zillion games in your life. I know this is a common narrative now. I feel sorry for the small college towns. What are they going to do when they bank on these like six games that they have at home every single year? They are, I mean, forget about it with these small little towns.
You know, and if you think about it too, Mitch, I mean, they've been hurting for months already. You know, they thrive the kids aren't, they haven't been on campus, and every pizza place and every bar and every convenience store and every, you know, clothing shop has been hurting because nobody has been there to do the shopping. And now, yeah, you're going to take away the biggest weekends from them too. I mean, it's terrible. It is terrible on every level for the college towns, for the college administrators, for the college athletes, for the college students, for the college sports fans. It's just, it's really bad, but that's where we are.
How about the small programs? I mean, I saw it was about a month ago, Akron laid all those people off too. And that, they depend on all those non-conference games. What happens to the MAC and some of these smaller conferences?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's another reason why the MAC obviously pulled the plug on their season, because once they lost the guarantee games with the money, it's like, okay, are we gonna play a season with where we already lose money on football? Now we're gonna lose a lot more money. Why are we even gonna play? So as much as this is also about safety for players and everybody else, there's also an economic component in the win into the MAC's decision.
Okay, when do you expect all this to be done? Well, a couple, 48 hours, they all pull the plug?
I would say by the end of the day, Wednesday, maybe. You know, I quoted somebody in the story Saturday saying by the end of next week, and now that even looks, I mean, I don't think it'll go all the way till Friday. You know, Wednesday, maybe it bleeds into Thursday, but there's a lot of big meetings that are happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I think this will all be done by the end of the day, Wednesday.
And when do we talk to you on a regular basis again? When do they start to? What do you think about that? When do they try college football? At April, Mario? What happens?
I don't know. You know, if you want to talk about like fishing or something, give me a call every once a week, please.
We can break down Bush Light.
Yeah, there you go. I'm in.
Oh man. Great job, Pat.
Thanks so much. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
The great Pat 40, yep. Sports Illustrated. Unbelievable. There it is. Yep. He's right. I mean, the options are spring football, which isn't a great option because so many the top players are going to opt out. I don't know what happens to the NFL draft. And then the other option is, okay, we'll see you in a year. I mean, and then the other thing goes back. Last Thursday was supposed to be the Hall of Fame game.
That's right.
And today's August 10th. September 10th is Texans Chiefs.
Well, at this point, obviously, it's all about liability because the NCAA can't take a chance with players coming down with this. And then, God forbid, if something would actually happen, and I get it, young athletes can survive with the COVID, with the coronavirus at a really high rate. But what if it happens to one guy, one player who's 20 years old? And maybe he doesn't die, but what if he gives it to a member of his family, then his family member dies? Or what if a 58-year-old coach who has some health concerns, he catches it, and then he goes on to die? Whatever it is, do you think the NCAA, I mean, what are they looking at there as a possible lawsuit or multiple lawsuits in the overall liability? I mean, it would be just astronomical what they'd be looking at.
Yeah, they're worried about getting sued, and what are you going to hand every guy a waiver? Have every guy sign a waiver? That's just not happening. Now, the other thing, you're comparing apples to oranges here with the NFL. I mean, there's so many damn teams in college football. And you're on campus, and you're with classes, and you're on all these people, and these people are still going to house parties and whatnot. But with the NFL, there's so much money on the line, and they really have the protocols in place, and they're actually going to try to do a voluntary-type bubble with what they're going to try to work out as well. So it's apples to oranges again when you're comparing the NFL to college. While the NFL is still full speed ahead, and they're saying all the right things. Goodell thinks they're going to get the season in. And their numbers have gone down, too, since they've been back to camp. But how many guys are going to opt out with the NFL, there remains to be seen, too. And how many guys will be affected. But this is... go ahead. You got breaking news?
Isn't it strange? Well, this might be breaking to some people, I guess. Isn't it strange the way the bubbles actually worked? When people actually abide by the rules and they quarantine? Yeah. Funny. NBA, NHL, look at this. It's working. Interesting how that is actually working now in front of everybody's face.
Working? A+?
Yeah. I know it is.
No positives. It's incredible what the NHL and NBA have pulled off. Incredible. And that
all things considered, absolutely it is.
We rip Major League Baseball, but again, it's guys not following the rules. You say what Police Act did. He had to apologize. What the Braves were doing, what the Cardinals are doing. It's like this, you knew the rules going in. You can't go out and hang out at a bar. You can't go to the hotel bar. You can't be around people and go to a casino. You can't do it. Or your season's going to be canceled. So...
Well, I mean, this is going to be absolutely, I mean, for everybody involved, it's going to be devastating that the overall handle that college football brings in. Don't forget that years ago, Jimmy Vaccaro, now I get it. There are more games on the docket, but Jimmy Vaccaro has been saying this at the South Point for years. It was taking over. Like the handle on Saturdays in college football was actually higher than the NFL a lot of times. So, I mean, it's crippling to, you know, sports books and small college towns like we talked about, play everybody.
A+ by Pat 40. Just the reporting, breaking the news Saturday, and the other, his rant as well. I mean, where was the Joe Klatt? What's wrong with what happened to Joe Klatt?
I don't know.
I mean, he's going down that hole too.
Did after he get hacked?
I mean, Pat he nailed it. Like my livelihood depends on college sports. I'm reporting the news here. Right, I'm reporting the information and the facts about, you know, Joe Klatt, the sensational headline. Danny Cannell, too. Danny, what's wrong with you?
Oh. I like what our buddy Adam Hill said right away on this. This goes back to, I think, the one tweet from a guy on NFL Network.
Yeah.
Our buddy Adam, who covers the Raiders, he covers the Golden Knights here in Las Vegas. He said, so when a player blows his ACL and we report that, are we rooting for the guy's injury? I mean, that's what you're saying.
Good analogy. Yeah,
we are reporting the news and what happened. Of course, I'm not rooting for an injury to anybody in any sport.
Well, there you go. Everything shut down probably by Wednesday. Pat thinks.
We should get Paul Stone on sometime soon.
Well, he came out and made several bets. Yeah, several games.
I know. This is what he does. I mean, he spends a year. He's been doing his college football stuff since April.
Yeah.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, we'll go for our plays that we had in pocket on Friday and what we're looking at today. Up next here on Follow the Money. Are back in full swing, and now is the time to get in on the action. And if you live in New Jersey, Iowa, or Indiana, PointsBet is the best sports book for all your favorite sports. See for yourself, they're faster and they're easier app with faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards are available. As always, PointsBet is offering tons of promotions bettors actually care about, like no juice spreads and all NBA regular season games. Download the PointsBet app today and start betting with a 100% deposit match up to $250. Sign up with the code VSIN250, deposit 250, get an extra 250 in bonus bets. That's VSIN 250, $100 minimum deposit. Must be present in Indiana, New Jersey, or Iowa. Must be over 21. Additional terms and conditions apply. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. PointsBet, stay sharp. All right, so some bets from over the weekend. The Grizzlies game, that actually came in under against the Thunder, 224.5. Mm-hmm. That was a winner. That was an early miracle because that game was flying over. The in-play total was like 236.5 in the third quarter. Totally died. That was the winner. Blackhawks in four games took care of the Oilers. I had them in the series at plus 150. So that was a nice winner. And I did bet the Predators on Friday after our show, plus 230 to win. Three post jobs, at least three. 52 shots on goal, and they lost to Arizona. Incredible.
Rough. It was rough. I had them as well. No good. Blue Jackets plus $1.45, up 3-0 with 4 minutes left. They blow it. Penguins, they don't even score. And the Predators game, you're right. Kemper was great, but they score with 30 seconds left and then lose in overtime. Great series. And they got me got me yesterday. No hole in one. Incredible. Seems like that happens almost every week, every tournament since, I think it's been every one but two since the restart. DeChambeau matchup against Hill, that was a winner, and this is going to get there. Wizards under 1.5 wins in the 8 seeding games, they're 0-6, and I added this to the portfolio yesterday. Clippers to win the title, plus 325 at William Hill. Rest assured, we'll scoop some NBA tickets here in the future. I think we're gonna get 5 units with Freak to win the MVP, and then some other. I don't know what's gonna happen with division bets. Feel free to tweet at us and send emails as well. What are these books doing? A lot of them are decided. Lakers won the division.
Yep.
Toronto won the division. Milwaukee won the division. The Heat won the division. Are they grading them? Mm-hmm. I mean, let me know what these books are doing with the NBA, because we had this problem with the NHL. Although most places in Nevada paid out NHL division winners.
So I have an open parlay that has not been graded yet.
Okay.
And that's on the Rockets, the Nuggets, and the Raptors to win their division. So that's going to be a winner if it's not already a winner. But it's still, I don't know what they're going to do with it, to be honest. And I also have the Thunder at 15-1.
Yeah.
They can't win their division now. But, I mean, that hasn't been graded yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, hope that the one hedge there that I had with that parlay is, I hope that's a winner. Yeah. That'd be a three-teamer coming in.
I was looking through my app yesterday. I have the Thunder 50-1 to win the West. I must have bet that real early. I had no recollection of making that bet, but Jimmy Crack Corn. He's hot. He's back. 18-8-1 since Thursday. Palm Reader's Playbook, Group 1, 5 units. Padres, Dodgers, first 5 under 4.5. In group two, Leverkusen. Oh, yeah, we got a Europa League. We'll get to it coming up. Leverkusen plus a half, minus 125. They're taking on Inter Milan. And he likes the Rockies. Gray's $1.30. That's a weird price.
That's exactly what I thought last night, looking at the numbers.
I'm sorry. Yeah, at home against Arizona, who can hit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a weird price. It's Robbie Ray, I believe, for Arizona.
Who has been absolutely putrid.
Yes. Oh, that's a weird number. Keep it going, Mike. I know he cleaned up yesterday with the in play, but good bounce back. Good start to August for the Palm Readers. 18-8-1 with Mike Palm, and he'll be on Wednesday with all the hockey plays coming up. What do you like?
I haven't bet any of the hockey series prices yet. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have had them here in this. It's the turnaround here. Just getting these numbers like late last night and today. I'm looking a little bit more into the numbers. My gut says, and we'll see if that actually sticks a little bit later on today. Gut says Islanders plus the money, but also Boston, the overreaction to what happened in the bubble with that team losing their games and then the way that Carolina looked against the Rangers.
What was the worst?
Like those two the most.
What was the worst beat of the weekend?
I was just
thinking
about
the Blue Jackets. The Celtics under, that Portland, if you took 4.5 with Portland.
Oh. How about Tringali, the matchup with Tringali?
That too.
Signed the wrong scorecard.
Incorrect scorecard, right. God, what a racket. What a racket. I love it.
What a week. A week ago right now, we were like, finally, we got it. And now it's like over with already. But it was just the NBA. You don't know what you're going to get on a day-in, day-out basis from these teams.
No.
Yeah. From the Indeed.com studio, find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact for more information. Updated NBA bubble numbers with the sendouts on the over-under win totals. The Suns have gone over 2.5. That's already in the bag. The Spurs are over 2.5. How about that? The Nets after last night. This is the crazy thing about the Nets, Paul. Oh. They pulled off two of the biggest upsets in the bubble last night against the Clippers outright, against the Bucks as 19-point dogs. And they beat the Wizards, but they almost lost that game. So Portland over 3.5. That's there. Your unders are the Bucks way too high. Told you about that on the send-out, 6.5. I know it was under minus $2, but they have 3 losses already. Not playing. I want to see a good performance from the Bucks yet sometime in the bubble. Pelicans under 5.5. How embarrassing for that team.
Oh, horrible. The no-show against Sacramento. They're down 17 early against the Spurs.
Yeah.
And their numbers with Zion on, they were much better with him on the bench than on the floor, which was the exact opposite of the regular season. You're right. Yep. They embarrassed themselves. They were terrible.
Pelicans under 5.5. Lakers under 5.5. Not playing great basketball.
No.
Jazz under 4.5. And the Grizzlies, I think we just kind of assumed, hey, the Grizzlies are going to be there in the 8-9 playing game, right?
How about this?
Okay.
They might go 1-7 and still get in the play-in. That's possible.
Oh, my God.
They can go 1-7 and still get in the play-in.
Well, at this point, I mean, in terms of like just competitiveness, I don't want that. Thank God the Pelicans are out. Get them out. Not, I don't want that team in playing that kind of basketball.
Oh, I love the Suns. I love the Orlando Spurs. Oh. I love the Orlando Suns, and I love the Orlando Pacers. It's been great. Whoa.
Totally different team.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. I heard them. What do we got?
Give me a second. They broke into the room today. They broke. You got to get out. You got to get out, pal.
They broke in. Why is he barking right away? What did he bark right away for? There you go. He's hobbling. The poor guy. He just had surgery. Mitch is hobbling around.
Hey,
where's the crutches?
Tomorrow, though.
You
I'm
are?
Tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm staying at the South Point tonight.
Oh, nice. There you go.
For those wondering, by the way, I can't drive with the surgery, so I'm going to stay. Wife's going to take me down there tonight, staying at the South Point. I'll be in studio tomorrow with you and Derek Stevens.
Can't wait to talk to the – yep. Derek's excited. Can't wait to talk to him. I like the Heat today. I know if I forgot if they had on the screen. I like the Heat laying 2.5 at Bet Rivers against the Pacers. Huge matchup in the 4-5. And they play twice this week. And Warren averaging, you know, just 35 a game in the bubble. No big whoop.
Why not?
Right? You know, him, Booker. How about Porter? Bigger surprise, Porter or Warren? I guess take your pick, either one.
Well, by the way, Paul, this is going to be a potential game changer for the Nuggets now starting like next year with him, if he can be this kind of a player.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, huge piece.
Yep. And the Lakers are laying 5.5 tonight. No thanks. I mean, since they've clinched the one seed, and not like they were impressive against the Clippers either to start in the first game back. But 5.5 in the bubble, offensive rankings in the bubble, last in offense, Lakers. They're last in points per game, offensive efficiency, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, and 21st in free throws. And Anthony Davis was 3 of 14 in the loss against the Pacers. And there's just no one who can count on or rely on to make a shot, especially from three. And if they play Portland, it doesn't even matter. Forget about Portland. It's just the loss of Avery Bradley as well defensively. Now, Rondo's back at practice, I understand it. He's been working out. But, Lakers, awful. Bucks struggling. So many poor performances by these top teams. And then you see, I mean, was there a prop on that? Would someone go 0-8 or 8-0?
Yeah, those were out there.
Did someone had that? That's great. Wizards are going to go 0-8 and Phoenix might go 8-0. They'll win tomorrow, I'll tell you that. They'll beat the Sixers. They're not playing Embiid. Why would they?
So
they can win today, although this is an overreaction. I mean, this is just wild, fascinating. This line is what, OKC 5 last week? 4? Maybe, I don't know, maybe higher? Now Phoenix is laying 5? Well, I know they're on a back-to-back, but still, OKC's a hell of a team. And Phoenix is up to 5 at Bet Rivers. That starts the day. Utah is 6. No Luka, no Porzingis for Dallas. They're locked into the 7. And that 3-4-5-6 mess in the West. Actually, 2-6. Because with the loss last night, the Clippers only have a 1-game lead over Denver. I don't know.
Did you say that the Jazz are up to 7-point favorites now?
No, I saw 6 right when I was looking at their commercial at Bet Rivers. Are you seeing 7s now?
Yeah, I'm seeing 7 sevens. Now. And I see Bucks 6 against the Raptors now, 226.5.
Okay.
I went back to look at their season series. They played twice. Bucks got them both times, 115 to 105 and 108 to 97. Freak had a really good game in the 10-point win. He had 36, 15, and 8 in 36 minutes. He was 14 of 20 from the field. The other game, he had 18, 7, and 8 in 36 minutes, only 5 of 14. So it was kind of like that last year's defense, Eastern Conference Finals, that played so well against him in that game. But in the other game, he was the MVP that we know and love.
Luka. 36, 14, and 19 on Saturday. My God, what a performance. How surprised were you that we only had one of the 6 hockey games go to a 5, avoid elimination Friday, what I meant?
Well, I was definitely a little disappointed.
Sure, have to be.
Because you want to see at least like have, they all those games would have been yesterday, right?
Yep.
From Friday? Imagine what yesterday would have been like with everything going on in golf, and then you give us maybe like 6-7 games, game fives, 3 of them, 4 of them in the NHL. Come on.
Islanders were just a better team. That's what you're supposed to do. They took out Florida, no problem. Nashville was dominated play. Kemper stood on his head, and then the quick goal in overtime. The Canucks game, great. They come back down 2 goals. Markstrom was shaky, but they were awesome in the last 3 games to finish off the Wild. The Toronto game was epic. Very disappointed in the Oilers. 3-2 final. That game stayed under, although the goal first 10 in the first period went over. And then the Pittsburgh. I was shocked at Pittsburgh. I mean, shut out. They went back. They pulled Murray. They went to Jari. There's no score with 4 minutes left. Then Montreal gets one, and they get the empty net goal. I mean, Montreal, the 12 wins in 4. We don't even need 5. We'll take you out.
And then, both 12s.
Afterwards, Crosby's like, well, you know, it's a best of 5. Anything can happen. They dominated you.
Yeah, I mean, right.
You're up 3-1 in game 3. You can't hold it. But give me a best of 5 and anything can happen. That's not supposed to happen. Come on. They took you out. They took you out no problem.
Paul, both 12s won in 4 games.
And the Europa League, you know, the Champions League, the overs went 3-0-1. The total's 2.5 with Leverkusen. And Man U is minus $14 to advance today. Oh, wow. 1,400, against Copenhagen. The total's 3. Draws almost 6-1. Those are the 2 matches today.
Yep. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, Nick Bogdanovich is going to join the program, Director of Trading at William Hill Sportsbooks. With all of this action going on over the weekend, was there a sport that was actually hit in terms of handle? Did anything take a step back? We will ask him about that coming up next.
No hockey, no problem. Right back, five games in the NBA today, starting in the afternoon, and seven tomorrow. If you're a sports fan, you haven't been to Bet Rivers Sportsbook, you're missing out. Bet Rivers is live streaming a massive number of sporting events every day from around the world. You can watch live hockey, baseball, basketball, and more right on your phone. Sign up now for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app and get up to a $250 bonus on your first deposit. The best part of the offer is that all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Go to Bet Rivers Sportsbook today and start your winning streak. Sign up right now and get a $250 match on your first deposit. Again, all bonuses, one-time playthrough. No faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Download the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app today. Director of Trading, Nick Bogdanovich at William Hill. Largest in-play wagering menu every single day. William Hill US on Twitter. All right. What's it been like for you here with this past two weekends where it's nonstop action?
Yeah, nonstop is right. Not much sleep. Looks like we had a little brawl yesterday in Houston, Oakland. Huh? That was good. It's been great. I mean, fantastic. I mean, the action is hot and heavy. And I guess we might as well get it in now before college football gives us a little reminder of things to come.
Yeah. What's the plan there? I mean, I know you're already starting your NFL football contest, but that's a big blow. That stinks for William Hill and everyone.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, they need to get somewhat creative. Make sure they get this done in like February and March or something, you know, at least get an 8-game season in the books this year somehow, some way in the fall. I don't think you just completely can't. I guess you completely cancel the fall, but in the spring you got to pull it off somehow, don't you?
It's a good question. I mean, it really is going to be so complicated.
The economic impact, I know. I mean, for all of us, yeah, I know.
Nick, was there anything go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's a must. The NFL pulls it off. I mean, an absolute must. So, hopefully, Goodell and the boys are working overtime to make this happen.
Yeah, how big of a hit is that for you, by the way? If there is no college football, what are we talking about in terms of handle?
Yeah, I mean, it's a monster blow. But I mean, what we've seen during these things, they'll shuffle their dollars to other things. So I don't think it's the end of the world. But I mean, obviously, the NFL is key there. I think you got to have some football, and if they come back and play, you know, an 8-game schedule in like February, March, that would be doable, and then try to get back on track somewhat next year. So, I mean, they play spring anyway. I mean, they practice in spring and play a spring game, so they can pull it off. Obviously, every day that goes by, they get closer and closer to a vaccine and learn more stuff. So. We'll see. Yeah.
Did anything get lost in the shuffle this weekend with all these sports going on at the same time? I mean, here, you know, we've had the UFC so many times, along with golf, which has been just unbelievable, and NASCAR. But then you throw on top of that, you know, the NHL and the NBA finally coming back. Was there anything that kind of took a back seat this weekend with the handle?
No, not really. I thought Saturday was surprisingly average. Sunday was crazier than Saturday, even with the UFC card. So it was weird how that played out. But listen, we got the NHL playoffs set. We got a good 16. Vegas is in the mix. Vegas is back to their old tricks. We got pummeled all three of their games the last three times. So that's good that people are noticing the Golden Knights again and getting to the window. NBA, just monster decisions constantly. I mean, it's just big decisions in the NBA. The NBA is sort of the big guy right now. I mean, there's just a lot of money in the NBA. And Major League Baseball, they keep fighting day to day. I mean, obviously, they've had some COVID flare-ups, but the handle on those games are strong as well. So no question it goes NBA, then MLB, then the NHL.
How about they stuck it in your ear there, back-to-back games with the Knights covering the puck line, too?
After being down two, so the in-play got whacked as well.
Oh.
So hats off to the Golden Knights. Listen, I think it's better for everyone when they're playing good, even though we know we're going to be real loaded up on them. It just gets people into the books or playing, and they're always in everyone's parlay, and they're in play. So it's much better when Vegas is winning than they're not.
The favorites went 10-2 in the UFC. How'd you make out? And I know you won. Someone bet $200,000 on the dog in the main event against Lewis.
Yeah, we ended up small winner, but you're right. There was a lot of favorite parlays that cashed, but we played lucky. We took a big bet on the dog for $200,000, so that softened the blow, and we won one key one in there that was the Means one was really good for us. So the Means and Lewis were good. Most of the rest were small losers.
I imagine the in play was nuts with the golf.
It was really strong, and the hats off again. I said they had Morikawa. We ended up pretty good loser with Morikawa for the tournament. So here's a guy that's been a stud ever since he came onto the tour, Bay Area kid, now living in Las Vegas. We'll claim him. he gets the job done. He's just a stud. That's all there is to it. I mean, hats off, people. A lot of people took 30, 25-1, so and 10-1 going into the final round. So good for them.
So a loser to him. I heard you love this sport, and what an event that was. I heard a lot of people say that a couple of things. Either he's already the best player in the world at 23 years old, and he certainly has been since the restart, or if he putts like that, like get out of the way. It's not even going to be fair. Would you agree with that?
Well, no, because it's just so deep. You saw it. I mean, there was six guys in the lead with four holes to go. I mean, that's how deep these fields are. Obviously, you'd like to have a piece of this kid. He's going to be one of the top 10 players for the next 15 years of his life. He's that good. He has been his entire career. I mean, he's been a stud since he was six. So he will definitely be in the top three or four for sure. But there's plenty of young guns to give him all he wants. I mean, just look up and down. Matthew Wolf, Victor Hovland, DeChambeau. I mean, these are all young kids, and they're all studs. But, yeah, I mean, if you had to pick one to be in the top three, he'd probably be your guy.
What was worse, the first Friday back when all six games went over in the NBA, or Saturday when all five went over, no problem?
The first one coming back was the one that stung, but yeah, they were both stingers. So anytime you get just a majority of anything, whether it's dogs or favorites, if you go 9-1 or 1-9, people line those parlays up. So you're all, as a bookmaker, if there's 15 games, you're just looking for like eight favorites and seven dogs and one or two dogs outright, and you know, nothing real heavy one way or the other. And then you just juice it out and you go to the next day. So, I'm just shocked at the betting right now in across every sport. It's really a lot of fun to be a bookmaker right now and a sports bettor.
That's right. And every day we start it, we got a game coming up in like 4 or 5 hours with the Suns. Go ahead, Mitch.
I was going to say, is that must be the case in every single jurisdiction, because I know that obviously William Hill is up and running now at the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Have bettors in our nation's capital responded in a big-time way?
100%. D.C., we're doing great guns there. That's the surprise of them all. I mean, it's just a temporary facility until the main one's built. So hats off to the folks in D.C. They're bringing it to the window. And one thing we didn't mention, Champions League on Saturday, favorite and over. So That was the players got us on that one. Hats off to them. But it's good to see the Champions League back. I think we got a little Europa League today. So
that's,
I think,
right. Mm-hmm.
Inter Milan's playing and Man U's playing. So that always helps on a Monday morning. And you just mix it in with a NBA parlay and a baseball parlay.
Thanks for pointing that out. Good observation. And we got soccer all day, every day this week as well. An observation. Great job by your crew. Then the betting menu with the in-play in hockey is phenomenal, with live first period betting totals, side, three-way, regulation. That's great. Mike Palm has a question. Can you put up first three in baseball with seven-inning games when they're playing doubleheaders? Because you do first five and first seven as well, regular.
That's a good question. Tell him I will put it under the microscope.
Okay. And also, how was Illinois and taking over Caesars so far here?
Yeah, all going smooth. I mean, it's just so many moving parts right now. It's tough to stay sane, but yeah, all smooth on those parts. And you know, it's just a crazy time. But I'm looking forward to the NBA playoffs. I really am.
Yeah.
I mean, if the handle on these end of the regular season games are what they are, I just can't wait to see what the playoffs bring.
It's been A-plus so far, right? The NBA, they've handled everything, and the quality of the games, high scoring. Dogs have been great. Suns don't lose. It's been great action.
No, it's incredible. And let's face it, I mean, it's sort of they're moving chess pieces. They're just trying to get some guys, you know, trying to get guys in shape, not hurt anyone, get a little flow, a little chemistry, and things are developing. I mean, the Suns are, yeah, no, there's all sorts of storylines coming out of the NBA. So this thing's wide open. If the Blazers get hot, we could get the Blazers a ton of liability on a lot of these teams that normally probably wouldn't have a shot, but in this format, they may have a shot. I mean, it's tough to beat a Milwaukee or a Lakers on their home court 4 out of 7, but you get this on this neutral with COVID and things happening. I mean, one of these bombers could come in.
Yep.
Hey, one last thing, as long as we have you here on this all request hour with Casey Kasem, could you guys possibly post first round leaders in these golf tournaments? Would that be possible?
We do in Jersey because it's a different system and it's easier. But I could probably try to work on that for when's the next big one coming up?
The U.S. Open, I believe, is September, right?
17th.
Do I have that correct?
Yeah, I'll get it for the U.S. Open for sure. If not, we'll have to fly all of our people into Jersey.
Gotta
okay,
have
pal.
Yeah. Good job. Thanks, Nick.
See you guys.
All right. Good question. You got to have that. We got to have first round leader out here.
Love that prop.
Good question.
That's a good one. Good show tomorrow, too, by the way. Derek Stevens in studio for a full hour?
Yes.
Wow. That's going to be strong.
Survivors. Survivor strategies. Hardcore breakdown. New bars at Circa. Yep.